Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fast Amai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 16th of November 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. Background to that news and sport and business and Sea Watch and travel updates. And the newsmakers in person tonight, the killing of a woman by her son couldn't have been prevented. A chief minister speaks about his Timwell-approved economic strategy. Police urge disposal of hypodermic needles. Our footpaths need increased maintenance. And the fastest blind man on the planet.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines, Fast Amai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fast Amai. A report into the death of a woman killed by her own son has highlighted significant gaps in the domestic abuse response on the Isle of Man. Police on the island are urging people to dispose of hypodermic needles safely after her 7-year-old came into contact with a used needle and needed hospital treatment. They are also appealing for witnesses following a fatal accident on the mountain road. It happened just before 8 p.m. last Friday in the area of the Cregna Bar. Tinwell will be asked to approve a new milk prices order next month, which would see a pint of milk increase by 5 pence to 85 pence. Further afield, Poland's president says it's unlikely a missile which killed 2 people in the east of his country was fired deliberately by Russia. The head of the Bank of England says he's expecting inflation to fall back to normal levels next year. The UK Housing Secretary says he'll name and shame landlords who breach standards after an inquest concluded a mouldy council flat caused the death of a toddler. And Twitter's employees have been given until tomorrow to confirm via email if they still want to work for the company. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. A strong wind warning later for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is moderate. The 3-day weather forecast tonight, most of the showers should have died away, so expect a dry overnight. Minimum 8 degrees Celsius for tomorrow, Thursday. Jadain, a dry start. Rain arriving on an increasing fresh, then strong north-northwesterly. Daylight maximum 11 degrees and down to 7 through the night. For Jehenia, Friday, wet and windy at first, gradually clearing up later in the day. Top temperature 10 degrees. Tides on the way out. Low water 28 minutes to midnight tonight. High tide 12 minutes to 6 tomorrow morning. Sunrise is at 11 minutes before 8. And the morning low water at 17 minutes to midday.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
A report into the death of a woman killed by her own son has highlighted missed opportunities but found her death couldn't have been prevented. The man known as Mark committed the offence in January 2021 during a psychotic episode. He also tried to kill his father and was later diagnosed as schizophrenic. Leslie Walk is the independent chair of the Safeguarding Board and says there was a complex set of circumstances surrounding Family K.
So serious case management reviews are held when there may be concerns about how agencies work together and whether they work together effectively in a particular situation. This review was commissioned because there were concerns around the contact with services in the run-up to the sad death of Mrs. K, and we wanted to look at whether there was anything differently that could have been done, whether anything could have been more effectively done to engage with the family during that particular period. But obviously it also looked back over Mark's life in that situation. It did find that the review did find that the death was neither predictable nor preventable in this situation, but did make wider recommendations, as you've read, in terms of the learning.
I think many people will find that quite interesting, that that conclusion comes to say that it couldn't have been predicted or prevented, given some of the evidence that's been laid out, the interaction with school particularly as well.
The key bits of them not being predicted or prevented really were around the immediate lead up to to the death, but also looks back over the childhood opportunities and did identify that there was potentially missed opportunities there to engage with Mark as a young carer and to provide wraparound support to really understand what his life was like at home. I know that the challenge has been around people understanding that when Mark was being identified as having some mental health issues, about why more couldn't have been done at that stage, and it is difficult for the public to understand that obviously there has to be evidence of harm to the person themselves or to others to allow services to override people's consent and to undertake a mental health assessment.
The Chief Minister has been outlining what's next with his economic strategy after it gained overwhelming support in Tynwald this week. Just two members voted against his proposal, so with the foundations now in place, we asked Alfred Cannon, MHK, when would we start to see some action?
Delivery is also very, very important, and actually getting some positive outcomes is important. I think I've already stated that I think any government can just get bogged down in process without actually getting on with delivery. And I think throughout the built environment debate that we had earlier, I made this very point that we needed to get out of process and start delivering on outcomes, that we've got to find the mechanisms to do so with the existing structures that we have, whether they're legislative structures or whether they're policy structures or debates or government departmental operations. And that really now has to be driven by the Council of Ministers and any relevant subcommittees that we set up to drive this. We've got an economic delivery board. I'm going to chair that board. I will chair obviously the Council of Ministers. And I think it was asked today, who's going to be ultimately responsible for this economic delivery strategy and the outcomes? And of course, the answer is the Council of Ministers and the Chief Minister. We've got some issues to sort out. Made that very, very clear. And since making those announcements, clearly we've been dealing with also a lot of other issues, including ongoing cost of living issues and gas pricing and electricity and government support, etc. My commitment was to look at the Chief Secretary's role. We're coming close to concluding that. My hope is that I will be in a position to announce what the view is from myself and for council as to how that should be structured pretty quickly now. I would be disappointed if that hasn't happened by Christmas time, and then I really want to get on and get that role recruited, and then we will get on with some of those interim positions. Nevertheless, that is not a reason for things not to happen, and indeed things are happening.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Pastor Mike, good evening. 22 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. This is Update, and the Ben McCree has just entered the Inner Harbour. We should be on the link span in the next 10 minutes. Police on the Isle of Man are urging people to dispose of hypodermic needles safely after a 7-year-old came into contact with a used needle and needed hospital treatment. Sergeant Andy Reid of a constabulary says the injury caused untold worry and concern to the family of the child.
Yesterday afternoon, police were made aware that a 7-year-old child was presented at Noble's accident emergency with a needle puncture injury. Further investigation, we established that the child had found a bag of hypodermic needles, used hypodermic needles, that had been carelessly discarded in the grounds of Henry Bloom School in an area of grass next to the artificial pitch behind the ambulance station, which is at the close end of Hillside Avenue.
Would you be able to tell me if there's any investigation going on about the use or why it hasn't been disposed of properly?
The needles have been seized by the police. We've taken them away and they will be safely disposed of. And our community team are working with the school and with the children and the parents within the schools to try and assist and educate the young children about not touching and picking up rubbish on the floor and possible dangerous items. Anybody that leaves used hypodermic syringes around not properly disposed of is always a concern because of the health risks and the dangers that they pose. Obviously, we don't know who these needles have been used by. We don't know if that person has any illnesses or any diseases. And obviously, that causes a great concern, not only for the constabulary, but for the parents of the child concerned as well. We know people use hypodermic needles, and we appeal to the community that do use hypodermic needles to dispose of them properly, use sharp spins, dispose of them at clinics, dispose of them in places other than just throwing them in alleys, streets and on waste ground.
Politicians are back to report calling for increased maintenance of the Isle of Man's footpaths. But how long could it take to see proper change? South Douglas MHK Sarah Maltby chairs the committee which created the report.
Nobody's brought this forward to as a debate for as long as I can remember anyway. So at least we actually finally have started somewhere. Yeah, you are right. There are going to have to submit some legislation changes. And this is one of the problems with removing all responsibility from the DOI. We recognise as a committee that wasn't going to be feasible and actually would cause, you talk about kicking it into the long grass, you'd have been kicking it further away than that if we'd try to change the system completely.
The problem that DOI has and has had really for the last decade or more is it really doesn't have enough resource, and things that tend to get left or lower down the priority are things like footpaths. How is that going to be addressed? I mean, where is the extra funding going to come from to make sure that this is actually going to work?
Yeah, this has led to some interesting conversations with the Treasury Minister now that I'm obviously a Treasury Departmental member. I wasn't when I picked up the petition, and I have since become. So yeah, that is the $1 million question, isn't it? How much is this going to all cost us? Well, in the evidence session, the DOI did indicate that they would need double the amount of revenue they currently have. They currently have $360,000 a year on an annual basis. So we're not talking millions of pounds. However, I do recognise that it is still a significant investment, but I do think the investment is worth it. You know, our pathways are unsafe in parts. They aren't cared for. And it is our natural biggest asset. So why are we not investing in it? So it kind of speaks to the island plan, and it speaks to the strategy of trying to invest in what we have to make sure that's better for more people to be attracted to the island. And you know, there's nothing better, bigger seller point for me than actually going out for a walk and seeing what we actually have on our doorstep, and we should be championing that.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Motorship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:06. She's in Douglas Harbour at the moment. We'll be on to the links Ben fairly shortly, departing this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30, the overnight departure 2:15 a.m. back to Douglas at 6, and the morning departure tomorrow 8:45, Ben McCree for Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
50 Isle of Man residents who have visual impairments and other disabilities are being given the chance to experience the thrill of motor racing. It's thanks to a 9-time world record holder billed as the fastest blind man on the planet. Manx Radio's Christian Jones.
Ever since he was a child, he's dreamed of becoming a racing driver. But the small detail that he was born completely blind hasn't stopped him. Mike Newman, who's 61, has naturally faced significant challenges without his sight, but he told me he wanted the feeling and exhilaration of being in control of a vehicle at high speed.
This is my environment. Being blind is the environment I live in, so I don't think about the fact that I'm going to drive a car and I can't see. I think about I'm going to drive a car and how I'm going to achieve it and I'm going to do it. It's difficult to put thoughts into words because it's something I never thought I'd ever achieve.
He's billed as the fastest blind man on the planet. And in 2014, a Nissan GTR was what carried Mike to an ambition he'd held for more than 11 years. It took 3 attempts to break that record, which saw him clock 200 miles per hour and subsequently break the land speed record. But how does it all work?
I have a navigator who's connected to me via a radio link, and they're in a chase car. So I get directional information over the radio, and then that information provides me what I need to know so that I can control a vehicle. I was determined to achieve the record. I've had fantastic success and support over the years from friends and family. Finding a vehicle fast enough within the space that we had was a major challenge. We travelled to America on 2 occasions to try and do it over there because we had more space. But unfortunately, we had mechanical challenges. So eventually we decided to come back to the UK and find a car that could do the speed I needed in the distance we had.
He'll be back on the island in April next year, where 50 Manx residents with visual impairments and other disabilities will have the chance to, like Mike, do something they'd otherwise think was simply not possible.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 5:45 live from Douglas in the Isle of Man, and strong full-year results from Sage Group sent the software giant to the top of London's leading share index. Shares in the FTSE 100 company, which provides accounting, HR and payroll software to almost half of Britain's small businesses, climbed to a 10-month high, rising 6% to 801p. It says its margins could continue to improve this year after reporting an 8% rise in organic operating profit to £383 million. And for a full Daily Market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. Car makers are in trouble with Greenpeace. They're on track to produce 400 million more cars than the number identified to keep the global temperature from rising more than 1.5 centigrade, as studies found. The report's by Greenpeace, and it found that VW, Toyota, Hyundai, Kia and General Motors are not 1.5 Celsius compatible trajectory. While some makers are accelerating their transition to electric, Toyota expects to make 63 million more petrol and diesel cars than needed to meet sustainability goals, VW 43 million more, Hyundai Kia predicts 39 million more, according to Greenpeace. The figures come 2 weeks after the EU agreed to ban the sale of new petrol and diesel cars after 2035. To achieve decarbonised road travel by 2050, Greenpeace says car makers need to phase out the production of internal combustion engines by 2030 to account for their lifespan on the road.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed lower as political instability gripped the region after that missile hit Polish territory. US stocks fell. Oil fell as rising COVID cases in China renewed fears of lower fuel consumption, and gold priced lower. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down 0.25% at 7,351. The DAX in Frankfurt closed 1% down at 14,234. The trading day continues in America. In New York currently, the Dow Jones Industrials up 0.8%, nearly 0.1% at 33,616. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index is down 1.25% at 11,216. The S&P 500 in Chicago down over 0.5% at 3,970. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is currently trading at $1.18.8, €1.14.3, and 20 South African rand 51.4 cents. In commodities, gold's down 0.25% at $1,773 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 2% at $91.86.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
It seems a link between the Isle of Man and Blackpool Airport could be moving a step closer after the Chief Minister met Blackpool South MP Scott Benton. This is Scott Benton talking to the UK Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris about his hopes for the routes to be restored.
Many of you will be aware of my campaign to restore commercial passenger flights to the airport here. So far this year we've had the Prime Minister, we've had the Transport Secretary, we've had the Aviation Minister all down here making the case. And the government has a brilliant story to tell. Not only halving air passenger duty, but everything we're doing on the Union Connectivity Review as well, and public service obligations to really make sure we can link on Blackpool with different regional airports around the country. So what do you make to today?
Yeah, and that's where it really comes into my role, because as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, you know, there used to be connectivity between Belfast and Derry and, well, Belfast and here and the Isle of Man, and you know, there's opportunities for Derry, London, Derry and Belfast International and City Airport in the future. And regional connectivity is so important for economic growth, the potential here that I've seen is amazing, the potential in Northern Ireland equally so. So it's been really interesting, and I look forward to pressing the case for this as we move forward.
The council do have a plan to look at Blackpool Airport and how we can link in with the Isle of Man and Northern Ireland going forward. So please stay in touch for future updates.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Good evening. Starting with cricket, and Isle of Man cricket is heaping praise on the island's new women's T20 international squad following the squad's global debut in Spain at the weekend. The team faced off against four other nations at the T20i multi-nation tournament at Desert Springs from Friday to Sunday last week. Among the highlights was a win against Norway in their opening game and Lucy Barnett taking two Player of the Match awards during the series. Isle of Man cricket has gone on record saying the team showed a huge amount of progress and resilience on their first challenge. The organisation adds training for the squad will resume again after Christmas as they look to prepare for their next T20 internationals in future. Meanwhile, in motorsport, Manx trials rider Caitlin Adshead has been in action for Team Station Garage as she took part in the 74th Northern Experts Trial hosted by the Manchester 17 Club. In what was her last national event of the year, the event saw Caitlin navigate 2 8-mile laps of 20 sections of the course. Adshead began well with a first lap of 9 and a second lap of 8 to take 17 marks. As a result, she secured the top ladies score at the competition and 7th place overall. John Shirt was the overall winner of the trial on a total of 5 marks. Adshead has already begun preparations for the next upcoming campaign. And in football, Union Mills will have the chance to go to the top of the Jacksons Isle of Man Under-18s League this evening. They'll come up against Colby in the latest fixture of the campaign at the Bowl this evening. Union Mills sit on 7 points, only 2 behind the current joint leaders of Rushen United and Braddon, with the latter of those two leading on goal difference. Union Mills are also one of the 3 remaining undefeated teams in the division, alongside Braddon and Onchan. Meanwhile, 3 points for Colby tonight would see them close to within 1 point of their opponents tonight. The Southern side are one of 3 teams on 3 points each, but crucially, Colby have played a game less.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Logan Air's inbound 525 from Manchester delayed, should be in about now. Next inbound, the 730 EasyJet from London Gatwick showing on time. The 5-8 returning patient transfer Logan Air from Liverpool on time. And the 8:05 Logan Air from London City on time. Outbound, the patron transfer plane to Liverpool, the Logan Air's delayed till 6:15 from 6. But outbound, the last outbound tonight is the EasyJet back to Gatwick at 8 o'clock, showing on time. Temporary lights on Ballinard Road for a pipe lane between Johnny Watterson's Lane and the Scholar Grove. Temporary lights on Quarter Bridge for some gas main repairs and narrow lanes, of course, on Victoria Street and a temporary pedestrian crossing. Balaclawi Road is closed for resurfacing north of Port Erin. Temporary lights on the main road at the Ayrton Road Junction, Crosby for some ductwork, and temporary closures on Regaby West Road for water over replacement. Temporary lights at Colby Level at Croyter Cayley Turn. There's a burst water main there. Temporary lights on the coast road between Ballure and Hibernia for manhole cover repairs, and temporary lights on the TT course between Ramsey and Sulby. They're doing patching work there. Temporary lights on the A5 near KWC for work on the pavement. Castle Street one way northbound in Castletown to the middle of April, and to the middle of April in Peel, temporary closures around Eastkey and the Prom. Currently the Prom in Peel's closed between Manx Utilities pumping station and Weatherglass Corner.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Milk looks to be rising in price again in the new year. Timwell's going to be asked to approve increases, which would see a pint of milk up from 80 to 85p at next month's court sitting. Here's the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber, MHK.
What is clear is we're seeing price rises across the whole of the dairy sector. And in fact, it's only the Isle of Man Creamery who have the spotlight on them in this fashion of everything having to come to Tim Ward. I think it would be fair to say if you went down each week and had a look at all of the prices across milk on the shelves on the island, actually the creamery are very competitively priced and continue to be so. And one of the things in terms of the marketing committee that supports and looks at those applications from the creamery in terms of a milk price increase request, that does have the OFT representative sitting on it to represent the consumer. And I think one of the very strong feelings is actually we want to make sure that price is fair to the farmers and is fair to the factory, because there's a production cost as well, but also is making sure that the consumer's voice is heard in that. So I do acknowledge that prices are rising across the sector, but I think it would be a travesty if we didn't allow those prices to rise in a similar fashion as is happening in other similar comparable products. especially when we're supporting our local industry.
And is this the last increase for the time being, or are we expecting to see more increases in the coming year?
So it's certainly not a case of an expectation. I think it would be unlikely to see it in this calendar year, given that we've only got 1 month left. But what I would say is that we are constantly looking at the prices, and whereas ordinarily there would be a milk price order perhaps once a year, in reality, with the levels of inflation and the levels of rising input prices that have been seen, it's just not sustainable to not put the prices up.
The new health minister says his return to the portfolio is short-term to bring some stability to the department. Laurie Hooper, MHK, left the department to go to Enterprise, replaced by Rob Callester. Now, of course, he's back.
I obviously haven't talked to anyone about the particular issues here. It's not my place to comment. My job really is to step in as an interim basis to keep the wheels moving, keep things going. Like I say, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We all know how important the health and care system is to us on the island, and really we just need to keep things moving. So that's the main reason I'm back here as a temporary measure.
Your predecessor sketched out the departmental responsibilities he'd given to the members. Are you going to stick with that format?
Yes, so they were the responsibilities I'd given to the members in the first instance. He actually didn't make
it. So he was reiterating it?
Yeah, there were no changes there, as far as I'm aware. They were just the same things that members were already doing. You'll have seen the department plan that came through Tynwald last month. That had my face on it. It was a department plan that we prepared collectively. So I don't think we had any big radical policy shifts in the last month that need to be looked at.
Has the Chief Minister given any indication of how long he intends keeping you in this role?
The original conversation I had was short term. I don't know what short term means. I think if this turns into something slightly more longer term, my wife will kill me rather than the Chief Minister. So ultimately, this is definitely intended as a temporary situation, as far as I understand.
Well, goodness knows, health needs stability.
It does, and I think that's the reason, really, the Chief asked me to step back in, simply because I'd only been in there a short time before, so I'm aware of the current work streams that are going on. I'm aware of some of the current challenges, some of the current issues. I don't need to get back up to speed as much, essentially, as somebody else may have done. So no, this is very much about providing a bit of stability, a bit of continuity, let the dust settle, and then see where we go from here.
And double wages, presumably?
If only that were the case. No, unfortunately, the way Tynwald works is you can have multiple jobs, but you only get paid once. So in the last administration, I was in two departments, two scrutiny committees, all sorts of work going on, but you still take home the one pay packet.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Rhiann Evans. I'm Andy Wint. Back with Thursday's Update tomorrow at 5:30. WINT.